Okay, welcome to Endpoint Sight. Jeremy from Kentucky on National, on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash that donate button. Send much needed fundage. You're purchasing free speech. For every $100 worth of free speech that you purchase, you can get a free RBN t-shirt. This includes your shirt size. Or an RBN mug. You can call that in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. You can mail that in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Coming at you live for your Thursday night drive, and we have my regular co-host, William Repellum. William, welcome to the show. You're on mute still, William.
Oh man, I hit the mute button and it didn't work. Okay, yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for lining up our very excellent guest, historian Mike King. He's the author of The Bad War, Planet Rothschild, both 1 and 2, and The British Mad Dog, which basically is an expose of the war criminal Winston Churchill. All of these are banned on Amazon, by the way, and you can find his work on realhistorychannel.com. Mike King, welcome to the show. I want to kick it to you to tell the audience who you are and how you got into revisionist history, and then you can kick it over to William for a further comment.
Sure. That's realhistorychan.com, realhistorychan.com, short for realhistorychannel.com. Okay, well, I was first introduced to this subject of the revisionist history, the One World Order, New World Order conspiracy, going back more than 30 years ago. Okay, I was in my 20s. And it has been a slow, gradual process of discovery since then, which accelerated with the advent of the internet. It was really when I discovered the speeches and the writings of Adolf Hitler and started reading revisionist history books about World War II, that the whole bigger picture came together for me, and I went to the bottom of the rabbit hole. But it took a lot of years of study and just kind of thinking in order to arrive at that, that level of understanding. And I felt, people shouldn't have to go through all this. There's got to be a way to present it more simple, concise manner without being too simplistic. And that's how I got started writing. I said, let me fill that niche. And my object with the Real History Chan, and as well as all my 24 books, which were banned by Amazon, by the way, because they tell the truth. But they're still available at realhistorychan.com. You can get them in paperback format or as PDFs. But with all my writing, that's the one theme, the one objective. Keep it simple. Get people up the learning curve as quickly as possible. The writing is clear, concise. I use a ton of images with captions and everything. And, people really appreciated that. Because it makes it so simple. So I specialize in taking something that seems complex, boiling it down to their essential elements, and then presenting it in a way that even a normie can understand and come up the learning curve. So that's what realhistorychan.com is all about, and all my books. And I definitely want to bookmark that site, and people can get on the mailing list. And you could order a free report that I give out to all new people who get on the mailing list. It's called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Okay, William.
Yeah, Mike. So your books have done exactly what you said for me. I started on this learning path in late 2017. I came across you in early 2018.
That's great.
Right. I did not know anything about, somebody told me about you know, they said, it's the Jews. And I just had this instant reaction, like, oh my God, like, you anti-Semite. Like, I'm not into this anti-Semitism stuff. And that was in late 2017. But it was actually a Jew that said it. So I kind of gave it a little more credibility. And then I asked a friend to clue me in, and he sent me something by David Duke. And I was like, David Duke, oh my God, David Duke, yeah. White supremacist, blah, 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 whatever. And I listened to it, and it was just like, oh, this is why they hate him. Oh, okay, he's exposing, like, these people that are just, and I didn't, it's right in front of our faces, and I just couldn't believe how clueless I was to all of this. It just all came together. But right after that, that was when I started down my learning path of just collecting all the information with your books. I came across you in early 2018. I got your book, The Bad War, first. From that, I got Planet Rothschild 1 and 2, and then I went on to get the other, like, 10 books that you've written. And I went through them in just a matter of a few months, all of them. I would read them on the way to work, when I was walking to the train, wow. When I was coming home. I just voraciously just devoured these books that you wrote. And you're exactly right. The learning curve, the way that you've written these books is just incredibly simple. And you add all those pictures and you have all references to the other books. And I actually went ahead and ordered all the other books, as many as I could, of all the other books that you referenced in your books, and started to read those as well, such as Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil by Gerard Manoohan, which is one of my absolute favorites. And you know, Last Days of the Romanovs about the Tsar Nicholas, and, you know, The Myth of German Villainy by Benton Bradbury. And it just became so passionate about learning about all of this. And in a matter of about a year or two, I've come up to the same level of understanding about where I'm at now. I mean, everything has been nominal for the past year or a year and a half. I mean, it was like the first year I just completely just went in full dove in. And like I said, yeah, your books were the springboard for this. I really highly recommend anybody get it. And in fact, Mike, last week I got a compliment, somebody mentioning my learning curve being just unbelievable. Thanks to you, Mike, and your books.
That's great. That's music to my ears, because sometimes this feels like a thankless endeavor. But, you know, when I hear these testimonials, and I get a lot of them, and they always come back to that theme that I made it so easy to figure out. And, you know, I think that's why I was targeted, because at one time, my bestseller, my claim to my fame more than anything else, The Bad War, but also Planet Rothschild, but I was killing it on Amazon with the sales. It reached a point where if you entered World War II into the Amazon search engine, there was The Bad War on the front page. And because it was the only one giving an alternative view, it piqued the interest of a lot of people. So there's new people who stumbled across this information because of Amazon, and the sales just kept growing and growing. It was scary. But then when the big censorship move came in, I think it was early 2018, so you got in just in time, Amazon for the first time began banning books. And I think on their first go-around, it was like 30 books, mostly so-called Holocaust denial books and World War II revision books. And, you know, it's a badge of honor for me. I was on that list, as was Gerard Manoohan, that book you mentioned. But there were about 30 books that were chopped off, and mine was one of them. And then over the years, they got worse. Eventually, they removed Planet Rothschild. Then they removed the British Mad Dog. And just last year, they holocausted me completely as an author. All 23, 24 books gone at one shot. So, you know, that was quite a blow for me. But they're all still available at realhistorychan.com. There's like a page link above. It says banned books, and you can get them all there. You can get them in PDF format, or you can still get the paper books that I sell myself. But The Bad War, more than any other book, has really, really red-pilled people. because I always say World War II is the foundational mythology that defines the modern world. And once you understand the truth about that event, so much of what is going on today comes into sharper focus, and then you understand why they have to bury the true story of World War II.
Yeah, one thing I want to mention is that when we call out what we see today, when we see, you know, child trannies, tranny story hour in your libraries, when we see this degeneracy and we call it out as being led, you know, this degeneracy being led by Jewish power, one of their defense mechanisms, the ultimate defense mechanism, is, well, you can't criticize the Jews because of World War II and the Holocaust. And so I think it is very important to delve into that history and get the truth as to what actually happened, and because that's their main defense mechanism when we try to call out their power. And so I think that's why your work is very important, and it sort of bridges the gap between what people would call paleo-conservatives, not the conservative movement of the 21st century by no means, but the paleo-conservative movement that was led by people like Pat Buchanan, who does have his faults, but he does echo some of your sentiments in saying that, you know, possibly we fought the wrong enemy. He sort of hints around at that without totally dishing out the red pill, but it sort of is a bridge for normies. And so as we see the phenomena of the, you know, the Trump candidacy and presidency, and of course Trump with all of his faults, I don't agree with everything, and he turned out to be a big nothing burger, but just his mere candidacy in exposing how, you know, the Middle Eastern wars were not legitimate. And that made people question, well, if they weren't legitimate, what about Vietnam? You know, and a lot of boomers would agree, well, Vietnam was totally not a legitimate war. And that makes you go back and question everything. And so this is a very good bridge to get normies into discovering the real truth. Because if you can disable the myth of the Holocaust, then that will allow you to criticize Jewish power. Let me get your thoughts on that, Mike, on you know, how basically the Holocaust, the myth of the Holocaust of the Jewish people, keeps you from criticizing Jewish power, and it sort of cripples the normies.
Yeah, it is. It is their most effective weapon. I mean, they've always used the self-pity weapon. I mean, this goes back to time immemorial, but even in Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice, okay, so this is 1500s, you know, there's a Jewish character in there, and he's before, he's arguing his case before court. He wants a pound of flesh from someone who owes him money. And here he is saying, he gives this speech about how, you know, he's being persecuted because he's a Jew, and I'm sure you've heard the excerpt, if you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? This and that. So Shakespeare was on to them. The whole woe is me where the victims were persecuted, you know? So this tactic goes back centuries. But what the Holocaust did is it took it to a whole new level. You know, after they sold that, it's just impossible to criticize them because of that so-called event that never happened. So it is critical to deconstruct that and strip them of their most potent weapon.
Yeah, and not only did it not happen the way they said it happened, and we're not saying that there weren't camps and that there weren't Jews in the camps. Right. That's not what we're saying. So official narrative of the 6 million, they themselves have already said that it didn't happen that way. I mean, we can get into the details on that. But not only did it not happen, but it was actually Jewish power that holocausted Germany in World War II, and so badly. I mean, millions of Germans were evicted from their homes and slaughtered and raped and tortured. and firebombed, literally holocausted from firebombing from the U.S. AF and the Royal Air Force. Just it sounds like Dresden and Hamburg and Mannheim and Stuttgart, and you could just keep, the list goes on and on, right? I don't even know how many towns they just completely decimated.
Oh, it's incredible. And when they had bombs left over, they would hit houses in the country just not to come back without any bombs left. I mean, they just, it was just horrific, mass, deliberate mass extermination of the civilian population during the war and also after the war by other means. So it's a complete projection and a reversal of reality.
Yeah, it went on for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're really good at that. They're really good at just inverting the truth. And in this case, they have taken their victim, in my opinion, and taken their victim, the Germans, which is Germans are only like the next victim. I mean, they had already slaughtered and holocausted the Russian people after World War One and the Bolshevik Revolution and going forward under Lenin, Trotsky, and then Stalin. And nobody even knows about that because they control the academia and that they don't teach that in schools. All the only thing they ever teach our kids is brainwash them with this Holocaust.
Yeah.
And so it's real easy to just, we probably don't have time to jump into the weeds about the Holocaust necessarily. And go into those details. But if you go on Kodo.com and you go to find David Cole, he did an early expose in the early 90s, and you can watch the video where he went to Auschwitz, the flagship, you know, death camp, so what they call the death camp, which is easily provably to be false. And so that's, people just have to be willing to open their minds up enough to investigate it. Unfortunately, the Jewish power has made that illegal in countries like Germany and other European countries. You'll be thrown in prison for even just questioning this. So if history comes to you enforced by law, that means one thing, that it's a lie. And it doesn't stand on its own feet.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, what you're bringing up, William, this is probably step one into waking up the normie. Without even getting into debunking the Holocaust, if you just step back from a 30,000-foot view and you look at the 20th century and you expose the Holocaust of, you know, the Bolsheviks on the Russian people and the Ukrainian people, which led to the knee-jerk reaction of Nazi Germany, the National Socialists, fighting back and taking back control of their country. If you just step back and you show the normie, like, look, let's take the Holocaust at face value, 6 million, okay? Look at the 20 to 30 million Russians that were Holocausted. Look at the 7 to 11 million Ukrainians. And you tell me who is the worst player in this historical narrative. Hey, we're coming up on a break, guys, and I want to get back on the other side and delve into this a little bit further as to how we wake up the normies by showing them, by exposing, you know, that the Holocaust and the communists were much worse than what they allege that Hitler done. Back on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we are back to Implant Sight. My Thursday night co-host, William Repellum, and we have our guest host, Mike King. And we're just talking about how to red pill the normies. And if you just... Yeah, even if you take history, the historical narrative, at face value, and if you accept the narrative that the National Socialists holocausted 6 million Jews, if you look and you see what happened before that, I mean, the Russian Bolsheviks, which were Jewish dominated, holocausted 20 to 30 million plus Russian Christians, and then you had the Ukrainian Holodomor, and so you can force the normie to ask themselves, well, which is the worst, which is the most death toll, which caused the most death? I mean, you know, communism, Bolshevism, or National Socialism? And that's where you get them into open-mindedness to start questioning the whole narrative of the Holocaust. And one thing that I mentioned in the first segment is people are ready to be red-pilled. They're ready to question everything, especially with the coronavirus hoax that has went on for 18 months. And then 9/11, the whole Trump campaign, which made people call into question the Middle Eastern wars. People already had called into question the Vietnam wars. And so it just takes a hop, skip, and a jump to make them go back and say, well, maybe if all of these other wars were not legitimate, maybe World War II was fishy as well. And so let me kick it to you, Mike, to get some comments on that, and then kick it back to William. We've got a short segment before the break. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing is historical memories are very short. By now, anyone, even the most brain-dead normie knows that the Gulf War in Iraq was an absolute fraud and a lie, with the weapons of mass destruction lie and everything, and all the deaths and the destruction of our own troops and innocent people in foreign countries. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find people who still support that war. It's almost universally understood that it was a giant fraud. More astute person will put two and two together and then start to ask questions about all the previous wars. Well, with most normies, when you talk about World War II, unless they have an interest in history and the subject, you might as well be talking about, you know, ancient Egypt to them, you know? So, memories are short.
That's where your work, that's where your work comes in very important.
Well, it does because what it does is it makes it clear that historical events are not just old stories. It's not like reading about, you know, Egyptian history or Roman history or the Persian-Greek wars, which, you know, might be interesting subjects, but don't have direct relevance to what's going on in our lives today. And people think that World War I and World War II are the same, but they're not. And my work links it together, and you see the common thread running through the last couple hundred years of history. And once you understand that, then all of a sudden these events become a lot more interesting because it's part of the same movie. So it's important to show that. History is taught the wrong way. It really is. I mean, in addition to it being mostly fake, one of the greatest lies about the subject of history as it's taught in academia, it just seems like it's presented as a sequence of unrelated events. This happened, and this happened, this happened, but they don't tie it together, and you have to weave it together because it's one big narrative controlled by one great conspiracy. And when it's presented like that, it suddenly becomes a lot more interesting, too.
Definitely. Yeah. William, your comments.
Well, one other point I wanted to make about your books with respect to ADD, because I've never been diagnosed with ADD or anything like that, but I've never gone in and asked either. But I'm one of those people that I lose focus, and I think a lot of kids lose focus in school probably because they're being taught BS. You know, they're being taught fake history, and it doesn't seem relevant to them. When you start learning the real truth, it becomes incredibly relevant. What's going on, and it's so fascinating. And what your books do, Mike, which is also great, is there's a lot of overlap in them too. Like I remember reading "I Don't Like Ike" about Eisenhower, and it's like, whoa, Eisenhower. We were taught that he was this fantastic president. He was 2 terms in the 50s, in this great time in American history, right? In the 50s, right? But Eisenhower was an absolute traitor who stopped Patton from coming up and at least ending the war humanely for the Germans and stopping the Russians from being able to come in from the east. No, Eisenhower not only stopped Patton from so that Russia could come in and just rape Germany, but he also took German soldiers, 1.5 million of them, in the Rhine-Meadow death camps after the war and left them there all to die of exposure. And they did, 1.5 million. Just he holocausted 1.5 million German soldiers.
Yeah. That man was a total psychopath. Name of my book is "I Don't Like Ike," because the big campaign slogan back then was "I Like Ike," but I don't like Ike. Yeah, he was a monster. Yeah.
We'll be back on the other side with more revisionist history with Mike King and William Repellum on In Plain Sight.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Thank you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we are back to In Plain Sight with William Repellum and Mike King. And we were just discussing over the break the French Revolution and how it was a precursor to the Bolshevik Revolution, where the monarchy, the German monarchy of France, was overthrown. And the Jacobins, the Jewish Jacobins, took over, which were much more oppressive. But one of the people that they tried to use as a spearhead to push liberal democracy in Europe was Napoleon. And anywhere that Napoleon conquered, what you had was the decriminalization of sodomy, the decriminalization of adultery, and then also recognizing Judaism as a legit religion. But Mike King, you were talking about how Napoleon may have been used by them, but he didn't totally acquiesce to all of their talking points. Go ahead and elaborate on that as you did during the break.
Napoleon's game with the Jews was, you know, different than Hitler's. You know, Hitler was like, let's just clean them out, get them out of power, ultimately maybe even deport them. Well, that's what they wanted to do once the war started. Napoleon wanted to assimilate them out of existence and make them proud Frenchmen. And to that end, he issued a decree which really upset the Jewish moneylenders. And they refer to it as the infamous decree because it put so many of them out of business. It was essentially a ban on usury, strict limitations on the lending of money and interest rates. And that really got the Rothschild and that whole bunch up in arms against him and wanting to get rid of Napoleon. So even though he was a creature of the revolution, the Jacobins tried to kill him and they wanted him out. And then the old line monarchies wanted him out too. That's why the title of my book is Napoleon versus the old and new world orders. So He's up against the old line monarchies like King George of England and the Bourbons, but also against the Rothschilds and the Jacobins. And it was the Rothschilds who financed all of the British Allied coalition wars against Napoleon that finally took him down. So yeah. That was their first big push against somebody. I mean, they took down the king of France, but their really biggest threat after that was Napoleon. He was a big threat to them. And as far as his conquests, he really did not conquer all these lands and country that he went into, because they were the British were whipping up. They were trying to surround them and whipping up coalitions. So if you took up arms against France, he would move in and then replace the monarchy with his own people. So much like Hitler, Napoleon's offensives and invasions were preemptive defensive moves. Had the British just left him alone, he would not have there would not have been any wars.
And I remember a story that strikes me as how the Jews really gained power in Europe. Nathan Rothschild, on the floor of the British stock market, he had received through, carrier pigeon, he had received news that Napoleon was losing the Battle of Waterloo. And so he actually put forth false information on the stock market floor that Napoleon was winning. And it caused the British to sell their stocks for pennies on the dollar, and he scooped them up. And when Waterloo was indeed won by the British, the Rothschilds cleaned house on the stock market. And that's one of the stories that always strikes me, is how the Jews really gained power in Europe, specifically in Britain, in the stock market by, insider trading, I guess you would say. Do you have some words on that one?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So Nathan Rothschild and his family, they're already the richest people in the world, so much so that the British and the Prussians and the Austrians, they had to go to them for financing. And one of the conditions for the financing was, okay, after the war, things are going to be different in Europe. We're going to give full emancipation to the Jews. And they made that concession. And it's interesting, there is a Hollywood film produced in the 1930s called The House of Rothschild. Okay. Now, this is Jewish Hollywood, mind you. And it was a very sympathetic portrayal of the Rothschilds. but at the same time, it did show that he was cunning and that he profited off the wars and that he was manipulative, etc. Of course, the context was that he's dealing with all these European anti-Semites, so he had to be this way, you see. But nonetheless, in this movie, it is clearly portrayed that he made a killing off of the Battle of Waterloo. And it's exactly as you said. The news had spread that the British were losing. The stock market crashed. And he bought everything up. The movie portrays it that he's doing his patriotic duty to save the market. That's why he bought everything up. Okay. But there's another section in the movie where he talks about how his carrier pigeons give him advance notice of everything. Okay, that's a separate part of the film. But you put the two together, and it's obvious that he had advanced knowledge of what went down at Waterloo, and he had his agent spread this rumor. The market crashed. Now he's already the richest man in the world. Okay. Now he's buying up the stock market. And then when the news came that the British won and it skyrocketed, it's estimated that he increased his fortune like 15 times over on top of that. So so the destruction of Napoleon removed from the scene somebody who was anti-money lending, that being Napoleon, and it went to the other extreme. And Rothschild became the absolute master of the British and French empire overnight. Had some serious power. And that just continued all the way throughout the 19th century and beyond.
William,
one of the comments. Yeah, one of That's one of the big nails in the coffin of Western civilization was that economic usurpation of the British economy, essentially. And then we see Britain as sort of being the, you know, imperialist nation going around colonizing different places, and sometimes in ways that were very destructive, like South Africa being one of them under Cecil Rhodes, I guess it was. And people tend to conflate and blame, you know, Whitey. And they're going after and killing South African Dutch farmers who colonized the lands down there that were largely not populated in South Africa, which they're saying that they came in, and they're conflating them with the diamond miners that came down and used cheap labor from Britain. And so just blanket, you know, hating on the white man. When the Dutch came down and have farmed those lands and provided farming to all over Africa for people to create civilization and societies that have been, you know, great for everybody. So anyway, that's one of the one little diversion there.
One of the things I want to touch on that will affect us, show how it affects us today, is the neoliberal movement. This thing that happened in the French Revolution, where you decriminalized homosexuality and adultery, and how that spread into the Weimar Republic. And so the Jews that ruled the Weimar Republic, I mean, it was total degeneracy. You had the first transvestites, you had the first tranny surgeries going on there, and you had prostitution and drug use off the charts.
Pedophilia
was rampant, and that led to the knee-jerk reaction of the National Socialist rise. And so that could get into our topic of the bad war. Mike King, if you want to give us a little bit of comment on that and how the degeneracy of the Weimar Republic led to the rise of Hitler and the backlash that was suffered in Germany there.
Sure. Well, you know, the enslavement of a people, the economic enslavement and the political enslavement, it always preceded by and aided and abetted by a moral degradation of the people. They always go hand in hand. Because, you know, when you have a morally degenerate people, okay, they're not going to stand up to evil because it doesn't bother them that much. They don't have that kind of compass. And it doesn't even necessarily mean the extreme ends, like the pedophiles and the freaks and the trannies. Even just ordinary people who don't really do anything wrong, but if they're quote-unquote tolerant of it, then they're kind of useless. Okay, you've got to have some kind of moral indignation when something goes wrong. You can't be lukewarm. Okay, it's not enough just not to do bad. You have to also be willing to fight against the bad. But the moral degradation, that's what it does to a people. And it's key, because immoral people will not rise up against evil, because A, they've been stripped of their courage and their moral courage, and more significantly, it just doesn't bother them that much. And that's one of the big problems we face today in trying to wake up our fellow citizens. A lot of them just don't have that sense of moral indignation. So the two go hand in hand. They always, the Bolsheviks, the communists, or even the tyrants of antiquity, they always try to bring the masses down to their level, you see? That came out of the French Revolution until Napoleon and his crowd restored order, that is. And also, that was one of the first things the Bolsheviks did. They started demoralizing the country. And it's interesting, though, there was kind of a split among the Bolsheviks. Because, you know, later on, Stalin, he wanted to promote large families, strong families, and kind of, you know, make his people a little stronger in that respect. And Trotsky was definitely opposed to that. And Stalin ended up having Trotsky killed. You know, yeah. I mean, Stalin was still a tyrant, of course, but he was not willing to go along with this total degenerate. I mean, the Soviet Union, they didn't tolerate homosexuality, you know. Well, but yeah, the Weimar Republic was really degenerate, and that led, that's a big part of the backlash. Berlin was, you know, worse than any major city today. It was just horrible, horrible. But they always promote that. And in my new book that I got out that we're going to talk about soon, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which isn't my book, it's a 120-year-old classic. I just added annotations and illustrations. But that is a common theme of the protocols, is the demoralization of the people, the promotion of atheism, and the whole idea of stripping from the people the whole concept of right and wrong. So there's a reason. There's a reason why you see all of this insanity and filth being promoted. They want the people decadent, and they want them stupid. You get people stupid and decadent, the path is cleared for a one-world tyranny.
And that sort of leads us into full circle what we're witnessing today since the sexual revolution in America in the 1960s and the desegregation, civil rights, all of those communist movements. You get abortion, the homosexual movement. We have a Weimar Republic going on right here in America today. And so my question to you, Mike King, and then you can kick it to William, is are we going to see a backlash? And maybe that'll get us into a discussion of your protocols of Zion. Are we going to see a backlash today, Mike?
Well, we already are. You know, people are really starting to push back at the school board level. It's this critical race theory and some of the garbage being pushed on our kids at school. The problem is, I don't know if we're not too far gone that it'll be enough, you know.
Yeah.
Because even during the days, for example, of the Weimar Republic, the majority of Germans were appalled by this stuff. They were kind of powerless to stop it, but they were still appalled. They weren't totally broken down to the level that we are now. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people who are outraged over this stuff. There's a whole lot of people who aren't. And that's so, you know, I don't know if we can muster up at this point that level of backlash that we would need. See, the thing with Weimar is it happened so fast, it shocked a lot of people. I mean, you just woke up one day and it's like, well, what's going on here? I mean, The German radio, the German cinema, I mean, the degeneracy was suddenly in your face overnight in what was formerly a conservative Christian nation. And so most of the people were still opposed. So you had that. That helped to trigger a strong backlash. But we've been boiling very slowly in the pot for so long.
here in America, that's been gradual. As you said, it's been gradually boiling the frog. And so that's by design to try to prevent a backlash. William, let's get your comments and then let's get into the discussion of the book on the protocols. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, I wanted to just quickly run back to the Holocaust and just run through the key points that refute it, and so I just want to do that real quick. So supposedly they were killed with Zyklon B gas, right? Well, then why is there no Zyklon B staining in the alleged gas chamber at Auschwitz, their flagship so-called death camp? Why does it say albeit Mach frei on the gate there at Auschwitz? That means work will set you free. Is that what they say at a death camp? Why did they have an infirmary where 3,000 babies were born? Is that a death camp? Why did they have a convenience store? Why did they have a swimming pool? Why did they have a marching band? Not a marching band, but they had band practice there.
Yeah.
Why did they have? Why was the Zyklon B standing in the delousing chambers? You know, people had their heads shaved, and there was a typhus outbreak. People did die in the camps of typhus. and starvation after the Allies bombed all the railroad tracks and everything. So, you know, so these are just the easy key points you can touch on to kind of go, I don't know about this Holocaust thing. And why were the cutouts where they supposedly threw the gas pellets down created after the war? Even the head of the camp in 1992 when Dan Cole went there admits this. So anyway, so let's segue into the book, The Protocols of Zion. That this is a list of 24 different points that were in the early 20th century, found by a man named Sergius Nihilus in Russia and distributed. And they have long since tried to contend that this book is a forgery. Okay, so, but the thing about it is that if it's a forgery, then why is everything in here echoing exactly what's happening now and exposing their plan? And according to the Talmud, anybody who exposes their plans, especially if they're Jewish, should be murdered, should be killed. That's what it actually says in their Talmud doctrine. So why would this be a forgery? Because it really echoes their Talmud. And so we won't have time to get all into much into it, but this book is fantastic. It's, you know, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's written a book on this, and now Mike, you've written a book on this, and you again have included all these pictures in here, like the picture of the New York Times that says proof that the Jewish protocols were forged. Okay, well, this is a New York Times saying this 100 years ago. Nothing much has changed, has it? And so it has a little article there. So I was just kind of thumbing through here, and I just really enjoyed this. But yeah, get this book, and it really makes everything so incredibly easy to understand. It just puts it all, it's like you read this and you can predict what's going to happen next just about, you know, here after reading this and understanding it. One of the main points I got is how they want to confiscate all of the wealth away from the Goyim. That's what they consider us to be, Goyim, like slave cattle to be killed. The best of which should be killed is what it says in their Talmud. And so that's one of the big points. And so what's happened under COVID? They have confiscated all the wealth away from the Goyim under COVID. That's exactly what they've done. And this is this is in the protocols. I don't remember which one it's in. But it really is exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. It is the blueprint. it was brought to Professor Nihilus in about 1900. That's 121 years ago, and so much that is in there was not really visible at the time, unless you were behind the scenes. But today, it all is. So that proof. Now, some people say, well, it was the Russian intelligence who put it together because they wanted to, defame the Jews. Or some people think they put it together because they wanted to make a warning or whatever. It really doesn't matter who wrote it, because what's in it reveals a peculiar knowledge and a foresight, a prescience, because everything that happened is in here. I mean, for example, remind you, this is 1900. World War II is not till 1939, okay? And it says in the protocols that there may come a day when a genius will rise and lead his nation against us, and it will be a terrific fight, a universal war. And in the end, we shall prevail. So they're anticipating that there's going to be counter-revolutions and backlashes, and there'll be like a universal war. And this is 39 years before, 15 years before World War I, 39 years before World War II. Okay? It talks about pandemics and how they can control pandemics as one of their tactics. The demoralization, and then and of course you as you mentioned, the real big indicator in 1921, the New York Times in section 7, the entire front page of section 7 was a so-called debunking of the protocol, saying it's not authentic. You know, they wouldn't need to do that unless they were afraid of something. So, yeah, but it's the real deal. And it's just, it's even more of an amazing read now than it was in 1921.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And get the book for yourself. See for yourself. Just get the book. Get his book. It's called, it's Protocol. It's on Mike King's website, realhistorychan.com, and read it for yourself and just see for yourself. You know, you decide. You decide what you think. We'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
It makes me interested in asking the question. You know, you had the 1918 pandemic, so-called pandemic of the Spanish flu, and were they trying to implement this, you know, over 100 years ago, with all of the pandemics that swept America? And maybe now, just now, in the last 3 years, they've really been able to put a hold on the populace using a pandemic to implement global power. So this makes me think they have plenty of plans and plenty of things that they've wanted to do, but it's not been successful until just the last few years. Your comments, gentlemen. Mike King.
Yeah. Well, 1918 was a big year, a big, big push for globalism, because that was the year World War One ended. And right away, they tried to shove the League of Nations down our throat, which was an embryonic structure of a one-world government. And the United States kept out of it, barely, by only a few votes in the Senate. But that was a big push. 1918 is when communist revolutions broke out in many countries. You know, we know about the Bolsheviks. They had the successful revolution, but Hungary was also overthrown, but it didn't last long. Italy almost went communist. Then Mussolini put an end to that. And here in the United States, there were bombings and uprisings all over the country organized by the early communists. So it was a big year. It was a big push.
Yeah, Attorney General Palmer that year, right?
They blew up his house. That's right. Yeah. You had race riots across the country.
So, gentlemen, we are at the end of the show. Not enough time. Never enough time. I appreciate you coming on, Mike King. Thanks, William Repellum. And maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we can continue, Mike. You come back on the show?
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll try to set it up.
RealHistoryChan.com. RealHistoryChan.com.
Yeah, get the Protocols of Zion and Bad War.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow night with Health and Wellness on In Plain Sight. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.